Thanks, Rick. Well, it's a privilege to be with you today. It's a privilege to stand in for Alan Johnson, who's our pastor here, and it's a privilege to preach God's Word to you this morning. Please turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, which is found on page 222 in your Blue Pew Bibles. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 18, this first chapter of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return, each one of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me, to me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word. Pray that your word would come to us in power and would bring forth your gospel unto salvation. Father, these words are ultimately about Jesus, and we pray that we would see him and that we would hear him speak to us in your word, and pray all this in his name. Amen. Before I jump into the text, I'm going to tell you about a low moment. A dismal season, a rock bottom point. Of course, you know, as you know me, I'm talking about the 2008 Detroit Lions, who finished 0-16. That is 0 wins, 16 losses. Well, players were cut, obviously. Coaches were fired. It was definitely a rock bottom point among many in the history of the organization. Now, you may ask, what does that have to do with the Bible? And you may not relate to football. And you definitely can't relate to the Lions. But you can relate to rock bottom points. Rock bottom points in life. It may be the loss of a job. It may be the breakdown of a relationship. Maybe the loss of a family member. Maybe that moment when your spouse tells you they're leaving you and they want a divorce. These are rock bottom points. We've seen a lot of rock bottom points in our world. You may think we've hit rock bottom when we see mass shootings, bombings, rise of terrorism. All these situations can and often do make us feel hopeless. Well, what I wanted to talk to you about today is that you can have hope in the midst of hopelessness. That's the title of this sermon. If you look at, as we turn to the first chapter of Ruth, if you still have your Bibles open, it's good if you do, because I'm going to be preaching right through every verse. The setting and the circumstances of verse 1 through 5, first, they're the time period. They're in the days of the judges. And I don't know if you've read the book of Judges, but it's a pretty bad time for Israel. You can read through that at your leisure. So they're in a bad time. There's a famine in the land. And the author's trying to tell us something here with that famine because it's happening in Bethlehem. And has been mentioned a few times from this pulpit that Bethlehem means house of bread. And if there's no food in the house of bread, this is a bad famine. So they're in a bad time, in a bad place, and they decide to leave. And for all accounts, they're the only ones that leave Bethlehem. This is Elimelech and Naomi and their two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. So they leave and they go to the country of Moab. And if you read before the book of Ruth, Moab, they're not friends. They're not friends with Israel. They're complete enemies. So as far as we know, this is why Elimelech dies, because he is disobedient to the Lord. He leaves his God. In fact, his name is My God is King, Elimelech. Well, his God, he's not acting like his God is King. And so he dies. So his wife Naomi is left with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they take Moabite wives. Not a good thing to do either. They disobey the Lord, and they die. And these are rock bottom points for Naomi. You may relate to Naomi. Your husband may have died. Your children may have died. Well, her husband and her children have died within the period of 10 years, and that's where we pick up this story of Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, not Oprah. So we see them in the midst of hopelessness. And if you read through this, at least Naomi and Orpah, they don't have much hope. But for some reason, Ruth does have hope. And as you'll see, that reason is her faith. Now, these circumstances are real. This isn't a story. This is history. And the circumstances that I talked about before with losses of family members and divorces and mass shootings, those are real too. They're not just something that happened on TV or that you hear about from your friends. And I want you to understand that when I say hope in the midst of hopelessness, it really is hopelessness. As far as we know, outside of our faith, we have no hope. Outside of our faith in Jesus, we have no hope. We are hopeless. And I was talking to the youth group last Sunday. We're ending the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And he says that that happens to people who are believers and unbelievers. One have the foundation on the rock. One have the foundation on the sand. The foundation on the rock stands. The foundation on the sand falls. And as Jesus says, great is the fall of it. Well, that's kind of what we see with Ruth and Naomi, or Ruth and Orpah. You'll see they go in separate directions throughout this passage. But what I was explaining to the youth that bad things happen to everyone. Doesn't matter who you are. Bad things will happen. And if God did not intend for us to hope in circumstances, right? Otherwise things would be good all the time. Right? If God intended for us to hope in circumstances, He would get out of the way and make all those circumstances right. But He doesn't intend for us to hope in circumstances. He intends for us to hope in Him. And so that's where we'll see this story pick up. So, they are hopeless, and when I say hopeless, they have no food. They have none of them have husbands or children. And now they have a fleeting sense of family because Naomi is telling them to go home and get out of here and separate the relationship. That's hard to do. That's hard to say to your daughters or your daughters-in-law. Go home. Get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. They also have the judgment of God. If you look at verse 13, where Naomi says that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Naomi feels hopeless. They have no money either. They have no way of getting money. They don't have a husband in these days. Women weren't supposed to work. They didn't have jobs like they have jobs today. So they had no money without a husband. They had no protection on the journey home. Men were supposed to protect their wives in these days, and so they had no husbands. They had no sons to protect them either. These are widows. The Bible tells us to care for the widows. Well, there was no one to care for them. The only thing that awaited them was death. So when I say hopeless, I mean hopeless. Death is what awaited them. And they knew it. Naomi knew it. Ruth knew it. Orpah knew it. So, as Alan told me to do, I have 3 points. That was the introduction. 3 points. This is the Presbyterian Church. So point number 1 is context, and 2 is contrast, and 3 is confidence. So, if we look at verse 6 and 7, there's a glimmer of hope. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people. And whenever the Bible said the Lord has visited his people, this is a good thing. Or he visits his people in Bethlehem again, in the person of Jesus. So, this time, the Lord has visited his people and given them food. This is good. This is a turning point in the story, and this is why they decide to go home, where they have no food where they're at. They gotta go eat something. So, the two daughters-in-law go with Naomi, and they both have hope that things will change, things will turn around, as we do with our mothers, when our mothers say, I'm going to go somewhere, or, we follow their lead. Especially when we have no one else there. That's what the situation was here. So, verse 8 and 9, Naomi has a bit of a change of heart. She says, you could go home to your own mother. Could go home to your own father. Except she doesn't mention the father here. But we assume that there is a father. It's a strange, go to your mother's house. Go return each to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So Naomi is telling him, this isn't going to work. She rebukes them. Verse 8, 9, 10 through 13. She's basically saying, do you know what you're signing up for if you come with me? If you bear with me, another football reference. My high school coach used to say in our summer camp, when it was 100 degrees out and we were on our fourth practice of the day, who knows why we practiced that much, but he said, boys, you remember what you signed up for? You say, yeah. And so that's basically what Naomi is saying. Do you know what you're signing up for? Jesus asked his disciples, count the cost. Count the cost before you stay with the Lord. This isn't an easy life, this Christianity. God doesn't promise any easy life. It's easier to go home to your mommy's house. That's what Naomi's saying. And it's better for you. Because Naomi has kind of lost hope here, too. Her faith is dwindling. So she sees that it's better for them to go home. This is a difficult situation, as you see. Verse 9, they lifted up their voices, then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. This is really crying, wailing, weeping, and they're all crying together. This is a difficult way. If you've ever, maybe you're leaving your family today to go back home for Christmas, and you'll cry because you don't know when you're going to see them again. Well, this was Naomi kissing them and saying, I'll never see you again. So they say, no, we'll stay with you. We'll go with you. And she says, no, you don't know what you signed up for. Go home. And Naomi almost makes a joke of it. She says, do I have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Naomi's an old woman. She's not going to get married. She says, if I should say I have hope, even if I have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? This isn't going to happen. And so Orpah gets the picture. They weep again. Their voices are lifted. They weep again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, which means she left. This is verse 14. But Ruth clung to her. And here we see the contrast. This is point number two. Contrast between Orpah and Ruth. We see Naomi's reaction to the contrast. She says to Ruth, as Ruth is clinging to her, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. What are you doing?" Well, we also see Ruth's determination. Ruth says, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you." Right? Ruth says, "No, I'm going to stay. I don't care if I know what I signed up for." But as we see, Orpah, as far as we know, Orpah, she departs from Scripture. We never hear about Orpah again. As far as we know, she's unsaved. We don't, I mean, she might have been saved later. We don't know. But as far as we know, she's not, because it says she goes back to her gods. Well, that's the easy thing to do sometimes. Go back to your gods. Go back to your comforts. Give up. Give up on this Christianity. Give up on Jesus. That's sometimes, it seems like that's the easy thing to do. Well, that's what Orpah does. But we see a major contrast between Orpah and Ruth. As we see between the believer and the unbeliever, there's a major contrast in how people live their lives. Ruth clung to Naomi. She's not just clinging to Naomi, she clings to God. That's what she's clinging to. And some people I've heard say, let go and let God. I mean, sometimes that's okay, I guess. I don't know. But I say, hang on. Hang on to God. Cling to God. Cling to His promises. Don't let go. That's what Ruth is doing. So we see Ruth's speech in verse 16 and 17. This is the some of the greatest words in Scripture here. Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. So what is Ruth saying? I would rather die than go worship my old gods. I'd rather die than leave God. So point number three, confidence. As we see, that's the end of the passage there. There's no angel visit. Right? There's no word from the Lord spoke unto Ruth. There's no dream. There's no Bible for Ruth to read. And, you know, she comes from a country of Moab, a pagan nation, grew up in pagan ways, and she's living with this family who's left their God, and maybe there's some faint hint of her teaching from her disobedient father-in-law and husband. How does she know the Lord? Where does she get her confidence from? Well, she has her confidence in God because God has given her the gift of faith. How do we know the Lord? Well, God gives us faith. One commentator says, Ruth's faith defies human logic and wisdom. Well, that's what Christianity is. Defies human logic and wisdom. You know, we trust in the Lord. We don't trust in man. What is faith? What is faith but trusting in God despite every circumstances? Despite every circumstance, despite hitting rock bottom, what is faith? Faith is clinging, not letting go. She'd rather turn, Ruth, she'd rather die than turn her back on the Lord. She isn't, this is the thing about this passage. Ruth isn't trusting that the circumstances will get better. Right? She's not saying, oh, if I go with my mother-in-law, I'm going to get a husband and get money. And, well, she'll get food. That's true. But, you know, she's a widow and she has no one to protect her. And except her mother-in-law, who has no one to protect her. What is staring her in the face but death? And yet she trusts in God. Yeah. Death is our enemy. It's always staring us in the face if you actually think about it. But the Lord Jesus has conquered death on the cross. So we need not fear it. And Ruth isn't fearing death here. She's fearing the Lord. That's what fearing the Lord is. So what is this faith? What is this promise that she's clinging to? If you look back at Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. This is the promise of God. This is the main promise of God in the Bible. I will be your God. You will be my people. God says, I'll work out the details. Trust me. Trust me. Even though death is staring you in the face, even though all your circumstances are going against you, even though you've hit rock bottom, cling. Cling to God. Cling to Christ. You know, what's the hymn? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to their cross, thy cross I cling, right? Nothing in my hands I bring. Well, God keeps his promise. This is what Ruth says. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. She's repeating the promise back to God. She's repeating it to Naomi. Remember why you're an Israelite? Remember why you love the Lord your God? Remember? And so Naomi, verse 18, saw that when she was determined to go with her, she said no more. There's nothing more to say. The Lord had the final word, at least here. So, the Lord also promises to be our God, right? Ultimately, He is with us in the person of our Emmanuel, right? Christmas, God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God. We are His people. That's why we're here. That's why we are Christians. This is why Ruth has confidence. She sees the Savior coming. This is why we have confidence. We look back at the Savior come. And what else, if you keep reading through the rest of the book of Ruth? She finds food in the house of bread, Bethlehem. She finds work. She lives with Naomi. That relationship is restored, and they grow closer together. She finds a husband, and the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. And they have a son named Obed, who has a son named Jesse, who has a son named David, who becomes the king of Israel. And as we sang earlier, he has a greater son. Great David's greater son, Jesus. So, you can make the case that if Ruth didn't cling to Naomi, well, the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't come, at least not the way that we know it in Scripture. So, the faith that Ruth has is no different than our faith. She trusted in God's promises that God would send a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually. And so do we. We know even more. Now we look forward to Jesus' return. And keep in mind, remember that Ruth was a Moabite woman, a pagan woman, a Gentile, as you might think. So aren't we all in this room, maybe? I don't know. Maybe some of us are Jews, but most of us are Gentiles. We are unlikely candidates for salvation. But God chooses all of us who believe in Him. We don't deserve it. He's merciful to us in Christ. Looking back on this past year, you may have gone through rock-bottom circumstances. And certainly we've seen these in mass shootings and the rise of terrorism, ISIS, and more signs of a broken world. But we don't hope in circumstances. We hope in God. We hope in His promises. We cling to Him. So we are looking forward to a new year full of hope in God's promises. As Ruth did, so you can have hope in the midst of hopelessness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the faith of Ruth. We thank you for her believing in those promises that you gave her a husband, that you gave her a son, and that you gave us a son, your own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all this in His name. Amen.